Okay, in the next part of our program, we're going to talk about those Norman Rockwell childhood memories. It's a familiar scene, a warm summer night, quiet patch of grass or lawn, and then they appear slowly blinking one by one, building to a silent symphony that blinks high and low with yellow arcs of light. In Japan, legend has it these glittering creatures are the souls of the dead. Many of us know the flashy performers as fireflies or lightning bugs. But why do they glow? How do they do it? And are they disappearing from the American landscape? Joining me to talk about these creatures is Dr. Mark Branham. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Who is an entomologist and a postdoctoral researcher at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. He joins me today from his office. Welcome to the program, Dr. Branham.
Thank you.
So, fireflies. How did you get interested in this field?
Well, it's a long story, of which I will try to make short. But you know, as a child, I had always seen them in my yard, and I always caught them, as do like most children. But it was not until college when I actually started to notice that there were signaling patterns that were found for like each species. Each flashing species had their own distinctive signaling pattern, and I had always liked beetles, and so I thought, you know, perhaps I could combine the two and study signaling within fireflies.
Interesting. I want to remind our listeners that if they have firefly questions or anecdotes, or maybe they've got something new to report from the world of research, please give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. So, maybe we should start with first things first. Are fireflies flies?
No, they're actually not. Most people think that they are flies because they're called fireflies. Mm-hmm. And they're also, and then also, unlike many beetles, they are soft-bodied. And so, like, if you step on them, they don't go crunch. But in fact, there like are some beetles which are soft-bodied, and these are beetles. All beetles have two pairs of wings, and their first pair of wings are much more leathery and are not transparent. And in flies, of course, they only have one pair of wings, and they are transparent.
Hmm. So, I mean, have you ever thought maybe we should give them a new name? I guess lightning bugs is a little closer, huh?
Well, not exactly, because there like is a whole separate order found in the class Insecta which are called bugs that are not flies or beetles. And so, you know, some of these common names are pretty misleading because where they sound accurate, some of them really aren't so accurate.
Hmm. All right. Well, I guess, you know, there are names that stick no matter how inappropriate, but we'll just live with the misnomer. So how do they light up?
Well, they have a couple chemicals in the part of their body which turn on in the dark, and they have to have a combination of free oxygen, which they take into their body as we do when we breathe, and they also make two separate chemicals, one of which is a bioluminescent enzyme, which is called luciferase.
Ooh, I like that word, bioluminescent enzyme. Maybe I'm going to have to get you to explain that a little better. But you know what? We're going to have to take a short break in just a few minutes, so perhaps we'll save that question for later, and that explanation for later, and I'll just remind our listeners that they're welcome to join us, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. As we talk about lightning bugs or fireflies, which will continue right after this short break. From NPR News, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Joe Palca, and we're talking this hour about fireflies. We're talking with Dr. Mark Branham, who's an entomologist and a postdoctoral researcher at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. And before the break, I was getting into what I think is going to be a fascinating question, which is, what is bioluminescent enzymes? And I think that's going to tell us why fireflies light up, but you go and explain it.
Well, yeah, this somewhat nocturnal reaction actually is a combination of a good four chemicals, actually free oxygen and then luciferase, which is the enzyme, which like helps to like make this entire reaction work, and then also a third chemical, which is called luciferin, which is also produced by the firefly, and so like those three chemicals in conjunction with the famous molecular building block, which we call ATP. When you combine those three chemicals, you have the production of light. And so if you kind of like think of a firefly as a sort of a light bulb, they actually have to produce light without getting really hot because they have a light inside. And if that light got as hot as a light bulb, well, I don't think the firefly would be feeling all that well or could flash all that long. And so this chemical reaction is called cold light. It's the production of light without too much of that chemical energy, which is wasted as heat. And so in a big way, these small flying lights are much more efficient than our light bulbs.
I guess I'm thinking now of Bug's Life and the way they use these lights as spotlights, but that's probably a little far-fetched. Let's go to the callers, and Linda is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Linda, thank you for joining us.
Hi, happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Can I go ahead?
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, you're on the air.
All right. My mother grew up on a farm out in the woods area, and she told me a story of her childhood, which is the girls, when they were kids, would go out into the fields at night, and they would catch the fireflies or the lightning bugs, and they would smash them on themselves right at the moment that the bug would light up. And so the bug was dead once it's on them, but it would stay lit. And so that's how they created their, like, children's jewelry.
Right, right, right.
And so my question is, why does it stay lit even after the bug is dead? Because when the bug is alive, of course, it flashes on and off.
Right. That's a great question. And the answer is, inside of the living firefly, that entire chemical reaction is controlled by the presence of free oxygen in the system. And so when the beetle lets in oxygen, then that whole chemical reaction takes off and you have the production of light. And then when the beetle stops that flow of the oxygen, then that reaction shuts down and the light goes off. And so like if you smash a firefly, even if it's not glowing at that time, it will glow and will glow until all of the other chemical components are all used up.
Oh, okay. So it's like breaking open a light bulb or breaking open this energy and it being turned on.
Right, right. And so like basically when you crush a firefly, you then make like all of those chemicals you would then make it available to like all of the free oxygen in around that smashed beetle, and it would glow as long as there was like ATP left and some luciferase.
You know, it sounds a little bit like breaking one of those glow sticks that you get them to mix everything and then they light up.
Exactly, and the chemistry involved in those glow sticks is based on the firefly light organ, and so like those sticks are produced by synthetic chemicals, which are made based on the firefly chemicals.
Linda, thanks very much for your call. Very interesting.
Well, thanks for the answer. I'll let my mom know.
Wonderful. Thank you for the question.
Actually, I'm going to indulge myself by sharing one of my Firefly stories, which is I used to work for a chemical company in St. Louis called Sigma, and they sold those chemicals that you were describing, luciferin and luciferase, or at least they sold a synthetic. Maybe, no, they weren't synthetic versions, because the way they got them was they'd send kids out every summer to collect fireflies and bring them to their laboratory where they'd extract luciferase, which they would sell for scientists who wanted to use them in experiments.
That's right.
So it was a summer activity for all the kids in St. Louis where Sigma used to be.
And they also made some money as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, they didn't, like many companies, they didn't do anything unless there was something to be made. All right, let's go to another caller. Leah, did I say that right? Leah in Indianapolis, are you there?
Yes.
What's your question?
Well, I've been watching fireflies from my deck for years, and I hope my memory is right from last year, but they seem to be flashing on and off at a different speed this year, like more like sparks in the sky instead of that glow that lasts a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I wondered if there was a scientific reason for that.
Yes, there is. Actually, every firefly species, which is a species that produces flash patterns, because like not all fireflies actually produce light as an adult. But like of those which do and that flash at night, each species has their own specific flash pattern, because actually they are like out there flying around trying to find mates, not to like entertain us per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps what you might be seeing is a species which you haven't seen before, but you were just out in a slightly different time of the summer, or perhaps later at night, and you saw one of the other species in your area actually producing sort of a different kind of a flash pattern than you had seen typically. Also, these flash patterns are temperature dependent, and so these insects are not warm blooded, and they can't maintain a consistent internal temperature, and so on hotter nights they will actually flash faster.
Well, that's very interesting, because it's been very hot here lately.
Uh-huh.
And I wondered about that, because I know that crickets are dependent, their speed is dependent on the temperature.
Exactly.
Ah, well, that's very interesting. Thank you.
Okay.
Sure, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Nancy in Savannah, Georgia. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hi. I'm originally from Wisconsin, and I remember some beautiful sights of fireflies looking like they were orchestrating ballets as they flew through the trees.
Right.
And I just had such an emotional, romantic sort of view of fireflies. What I'm wondering is if they're being threatened in our times, and also especially, is it possible I'd ever see them in this Savannah, Georgia area?
Actually, I don't know much about Savannah per se, but Georgia is probably the best state in the U.S. within to find fireflies, because you guys have the highest firefly species diversity in the country. But I don't know about Savannah per se. I am pretty consistently approached by people who say that they have like always thought they saw more fireflies as kids, and they like don't see as many now, and like you, they were also wondering if there were possible explanations for like why there might be fewer numbers now. And it seems like overall there are actually fewer fireflies out now, and there could be quite a few explanations for that. All fireflies as larvae feed on slugs and snails and then also earthworms. And perhaps with the like increased use of pesticides and like also herbicides, their prey hasn't been as numerous as they have been in the past. And then there is like also much more habitat destruction now than there had been in the past. And there like are some firefly species in this country which are pretty hard to find anymore because they pretty much only live in a very, very restricted habitats.
Dr. Branham, I need to interrupt you just for one quick second to remind people that I'm Joe Palca, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So is there any thought of trying to reintroduce fireflies where they might have been gone missing?
Well, there's a problem with that. Like all fireflies as larvae are predators, and so it is hard to culture those kinds of organisms because one also has to like keep the prey alive and but you can do that with some considerable effort, but most of those species which are so threatened now, it's just really difficult to find quite a few adults. And as far as I know, no one's actually really looking into that.
Nancy, thanks so much for your question.
Thank you, too.
Let's go to Ron in Michigan. Ron, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for the call here. About 20 years ago, I collected 20 chameleons from Florida. I used to raise them when I was a kid. Normally fed them moths, but I couldn't find any moths, so I fed them fireflies. The next morning, every one of them was dead, and I could see the firefly in their stomach. It burnt a hole, right in the chameleons. And I'm wondering what caused that, and if there are, what species eat them here in Michigan and survive.
Ron, thanks for the call, and Dr. Branham, can you give a quick answer to that?
Yes. In general, all fireflies have some pretty noxious chemicals in their body, which serve as types of defensive chemicals. And it sure seems that lizards, especially, are pretty sensitive to these chemicals. And if you feed fireflies to some lizards from the same place those fireflies are found, those predators do not eat the fireflies, or they spit them back out quickly. If you feed lizards other fireflies which are not found in their native habitats, in the same habitats as these lizards, there have been multiple observations of these lizards actually dying.
Okay, Dr. Branham, I'm afraid we've just run out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. I'd like to thank my guest this hour. Dr. Mark Branham is an entomologist and a postdoctoral researcher at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. Earlier, I spoke with Bessie Berry, the manager of the Meat and Poultry Hotline for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I'm sorry, our guest on fireworks couldn't make it to the program. But thanks to them, those two, for joining us. Our program is produced by Annette Heist and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Bergquist is our director. Our interns are Annalise Strachan and Erica Holland. If you'd like to write to us, please send us your letters to Talk of the Nation Science Friday, 1221 6th Avenue, 36th floor, New York, New York, 10020. For internet mail, you can email us at our internet address, scifry@npr.org. For NPR News in New York, I'm Joe Palca.